Saturday Night Live with Scarlett Johansson is over, but we're just getting started here on Saturday Night Live, live on post-show recaps. And now, here are the two guys who are the second hottest couple on Game of Thrones. I'm Rob Sisterian. Here's Rich Tackenberg. Rich, how are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, excited to be here. This is the first time we've done the SNL podcast since, I think it was the first weekend in April.
Yes, we were a month off. We did not do the last because you were at the podcast awards, and a huge congratulations. I know some people only listen to SNL, so they may not be aware that you won People's Choice Podcast, which we were very excited about.
Thank you. Thank you. And Best Entertainment Podcast.
And Best Entertainment.
Yes. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much, Rich. It was very exciting week. And, I've just been celebrating nonstop. And then it was a new SNL. So I said, all right, back to work.
Here we go. Now it's time to get to the show.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. Scarlett Johansson, I think I've mentioned this before, very special place in my heart. So I'm going to be very easy on ScarJo tonight. She broke my cherry. 2006, she was the first SNL host that I saw live. As many of our Twitter fellows saw, my buddy Mark posted a shot of me and Mark in the studio audience when Scarlett Johansson hosted with Death Cab for Cutie in January of 2006.
Okay, well, tonight we're going to talk about her with Wiz Khalifa on May 2nd, 2015. And overall, Rich, what's your broad strokes picture of the night?
You know, I would say if you can't say something nice, focus on what worked.
Yeah.
I think there was amazing production design. I thought that the Tyrannosaurus Rex was amazing.
Production design. Wow.
Now, I thought, you know, it was a little bit tougher. You know, here's the rich man problems. We've had some amazing episodes recently. Was this an amazing episode? No, it was definitely not an amazing episode. There was a lot of fun. I wouldn't say there was a ton of funny. There was a lot of fun to talk about, though. You know, it was a rougher one to get through, but in looking back, there's a lot to pick out. So I think we're going to have a fun discussion about a show that maybe was not the best show of the year.
Okay, good. And let's just pick up at the top of the show where they opened up with something that was very odd to me, something I can't recall SNL ever doing, is commenting about other programming going on at the time of SNL. And do you feel like in the back of the mind of the writers, did they feel like, what's even the point this week? Nobody's going to be watching the show.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And by the way, this was so off-putting for me because A, boxing is one of those things that they call sports. So I am completely unplugged from it. So I was invited to see the game,
and
I couldn't be less interested. I mean, not in Vegas to see it on a TV set.
Yeah, which you had friends, and they were like, "Hey, let's
you want to come over?
What must that be like?"
I was just like, "Why would I do that? Wow. I have no idea why would I do that. That sounds horrible."
Wow.
So, and I also did not understand that the match was at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. So I didn't understand the exact juxtaposition that this had, but I did see, that the fight, they said that it raised $400 million in pay-per-view revenue. They think they sold 100 million or whatever. Anyway, 400 million. So obviously this was a big deal. There was even an article about whether this fight affected the Avengers box office opening weekend. So that's what a big event it was. And I can't think of the last time there was a big event at 11:30 on a Saturday night that was not like a tragedy or something that, right, you know, kind of thing. So this seemed like a very odd moment in time. I absolutely believe, and I've been told the ratings for this will probably be horrendous. Even before it aired, I was told, expect this to be a season low of SNL, having nothing to do with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of crazy because the boxing match only came about a couple of months ago. I'm not sure whether it was, 4 months ago, 5 months ago or whatever. But, you know, there were all these things already planned for this weekend, and probably SNL was one of them. If they knew what was going to be going on this weekend, then they probably wouldn't have scheduled an SNL. Maybe they would have done, another new one after the last one with Taraji P. Henson, and then do it that way rather than schedule three in a row for the end of the season. But who knows? It's just interesting that there are these other things that were already on that date that sort of got thrown off by this other thing that came up.
Well, what's way even more confusing to me is when did boxing become a thing again?
Mm-hmm.
I remember like my dad had been into boxing when I was like 7. And then it was like, I know boxing movies, but I didn't know boxing was like a thing again.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a thing again. I think that this was sort of like a, you know, big deal, like for like this one event. Like it's not like, I don't think anyone's going to care about boxing next week.
All right. Good.
So I think it was just that this was a, you know, this was an event. I was even... So there were so many people talking about it and tweeting about it. I tried to watch it.
Oh, yes. You tried to watch it on Periscope or something?
Yeah, I tried to find Periscopes of people that were. But that being said, what did you make of the take and the sketch itself that they opened with?
I thought the take was fun. I don't know that it was necessarily funny. It felt obviously thrown together. You know, we had kind of a comedy mismatch, you know, so the opening is we're going to just basically show you a feed of the boxing match. So we've got Keenan as the referee sort of doing it. And, you know, Jay Farrow didn't add a lot as Floyd, but, you know, obviously the fact that they had AD Brian B. Manny was a cute idea. Couple of cute jokes in there. I thought the throw to Justin Bieber in the audience was fun, but it was almost a move of desperation mm-hmm. that I would not be above if I were there to try to get a little energy going.
For a second, I was like, oh, wow, it's really Justin Bieber.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
And like, she's gotten really good. She's really got the look down. I was really is Justin Bieber. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no, it's Kay McKim.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, it devolved into fairly crazy silliness. I liked the, you know, ridiculous sort of them fighting, you know, the ridiculous slow motion dopey fighting, and then the two actors just leave to go watch the actual fight in Wiz's dressing room. So it was cute. I'll say this, it was quick. And I think with something like this, where it felt like they were just trying to like, well, let's make a joke about Manny not being Mexican and the si, senor. And okay, how about this about they're old? And how about the fact that Floyd Mayweather was actually on Dancing with the Stars? Let's just keep sort of just piling on, keep it fast and get out. So we'll see.
One question about this sketch. This is from Racing Source. It says, did anyone really need or want to see Kate McKinnon as Justin Bieber again? Or was it just an excuse to get Kate McKinnon in the sketch? I mean, I like the character, but we just saw it at SNL 40. Well, that was in February.
Yeah, that in SNL times, that was three lifetimes ago. You know, I will say the spin, as I said, on what the Racing Source said is I don't think it was to get her. I think it was just an excuse to get a bigger familiar face like the Justin Bieber character into the sketch to give it a little bit of life.
Yeah, that was like, go to something safe. We know that's going to work. We're not sure if this is working. Let's just throw Bieber in there. That kills.
Yes, exactly.
And then see what happens. All right.
Yeah.
So let's get to the monologue and let's talk about Scarlett Johansson, the MILF.
Well, you know my feeling. What, you know, every actor wants to sing mm-hmm. on SNL. This was a tough one for me. Yeah.
What did Scarlett Johansson do in 2006?
You know, it's funny. I was looking at the photo. I can't even remember what the monologue was when I was there, which says something. It wouldn't surprise me if she sang, to be honest. I could probably look it up pretty quick, but I don't remember. But this was just, you know, if the premise was she's a mom now and she's going to sing the lullaby and she doesn't even know that it's sexy, but she's being sexy. You know, for a monologue, monologues have for the last 40 years been the weak part of the show. That's as good a premise as half of the monologues we've seen. For this one, I just thought it was hard because I couldn't tell if Scarlett Johansson was actually trying to be sexy when she was singing or if she was doing a parody of being sexy because she was kind of doing a voice like this out of the side of her mouth and mm-hmm. kind of being weird. So I thought it just missed for me because it wasn't like, oh my God, she's actually sexy, but she's theoretically singing to her baby, but it wasn't broad enough that it was so funny that we knew it was a joke on her trying to be sexy. So I this one really kind of missed for me.
Yeah. It just like, the guys reacting to it. Like, I also feel like it was, you know, we just saw Taryn like, be out there during the monologue, during the, Michael Keaton episode. It wasn't that exciting.
Yeah, I don't know that this necessarily worked for me.
Yeah. All right, let's move along. Let's bring back Right Side of the Bed. Now, Right Side of the Bed, this is the second time this season that we're seeing Right Side of the Bed, right?
Yes, this was, we had seen this in December when Martin Freeman was the host. Mm-hmm. And I think we did sort of speculate at that time that we probably would see this again. So, yeah, you know, again, now this is something that I would sort of say, as I said at the beginning of the show, I thought this was very fun, and I think there was some funny things to it. I think for me, and I will say this was better than the first time we saw it. The first time we saw it, there was so many things going on. It was like we couldn't quite settle.
Right.
This at least was a little bit more.
There was mostly like four different things that they were teasing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This was mostly about an obviously gay man being married, and then a little bit of a side game of we're going to keep throwing it to the guest, but we're not actually going to throw it to the guest. But we really kind of kept it more to the relationship with them. So, you know, they're both funny together. I liked Scarlett Johansson in this. I liked the impression she was doing. I wish when she laughed, she didn't clearly just do Fran Drescher. And then, that was a weird sort of throwaway because everything else about Daniela I really liked. I thought it was fun. I don't know that I would say that I am looking forward to see this again, although I suspect that we will.
Yeah, I think so. To me, like the logic of it, I get a little caught up in between the couple that hosts the show.
Yes.
Of that, you know, that, and now they're calling. I don't think they called it out in the first time they did the sketch, but you know, we had Daniela call out as the show with the gay guy and his mom. but you know, he's always like very like sexual and very suggestive about the things that he does to her or is going to do to her. But she doesn't play it off as in like, yeah, right. Like that doesn't really happen. Like she doesn't play it off like he's lying. So I feel like it muddies joke is.
I have the exact same note that it's not a clear game because we don't know if this is all an act or if we're supposed to be, because it does seem like for most of the writing, we're supposed to think, well, he seems very gay, but obviously they have an active sex life. There was a weird nod that at one point he says something like, we should go camping because I'm pitching a tent. And then Scarlett Johansson says, really? I see no evidence of that, which made me go, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Are we actually supposed to think that the sex is all an act between the two of them? So I definitely think if they can clean that up and let us, the audience, know what we're supposed to think is really going on, they could actually get more mileage out of the sketch.
And at the point where Scarlett Johansson says, oh, it's the gay guy and his mom, he doesn't say, like, you know, get mad. Like, what the hell are you? Yeah,
they did that fate. Yeah,
but he's not like that. Doesn't like he doesn't like refute that or anything like that.
Right.
So I feel like that's a little confusing for me and a little bit muddy. Was the woman's name Daniela Donato?
It was intentionally very close to that. And I did like, this is a spot. Well, I liked when she says something and then Cecily Strong says, I love her accent. She sounds like a talking pizza. Yeah. And then the little nod to the prop department. I like that she's going to be making her old fashions and the bourbon was skinny, broad bourbon. That was a great little shout out.
That was good. Yeah. I liked that. What's Taron Killam's name on this?
Kyle or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Anyway, I liked that they talked about how he only knows how to go glamping.
Yeah, yes.
And I liked that Daniela left her kids in the pool at the hotel.
Yes. I did like the call with Bobby Moynihan because he only gets one call. I thought there was a lot of funny there, too.
And what do you think of Hozier?
Fun. I couldn't actually hear. They said he changed the words. I couldn't hear what Kate McKinnon was saying. So I like that song a lot. I like Hozier a lot. But I like the energy of that. Again, you're either going to bring in Kate McKinnon or Bobby Moynihan to save a sketch. Kate seems to be the go-to here.
Okay.
So it's fun. And I could see if they did this again, as we're continuing to refine kind of the game of the scene, this could get better. Their energy together is great. And I did like the writing of the Daniela mispronouncing the words. And I couldn't write down exactly what she was saying, but it was very, you know, in this
Vincency.
Yes. That stuff was really great. I like that.
Yeah. He's not in the Vincency.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we did a sketch about the stuff going on in Baltimore and how the Orioles played this baseball game with nobody in the stadium the other day. And I will say the production value on this was very good also.
Yes. Yeah. Good production value.
The green screen literally looked great.
Yeah, no, they did a nice job. They did a nice job.
I don't know what they're doing different.
I mean, I was happy that they at least addressed it, because it was obviously, you know, how do you take on the riots in general, which we'll talk about when we get to the news. It's such a tough topic. But I like that they did touch on this. You know, most of this sketch was basically like, wordplay is funny. And I get it. And I thought in general, they did a good job. I liked, you know, with all of the jokes, you know, that they were doing, that I liked Keenan and Taryn's reaction to the, you know, when they said things that they made a mistake. So I thought that, again, we're never going to look at this sketch again, but given that it was almost needed that they make some kind of commentary, I thought this was fun.
I felt like it was a little bit ESPN classic.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah.
But then I felt like the knee joke at the end, I felt like that was a real stretch. Like I didn't even notice it at the first time that they said it, that everybody was, you know, what they were. I'm like, wait, what did they say? And I think, and then at the second time, I realized it, but I don't know. Did you?
I laughed out loud when he said that knee grows stronger every day. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah,
I really thought that was funny.
What are you gonna do? I like the kiss cam. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I would like, if you're gonna do two guys on the kiss cam, I would like to have seen I'm blanking on everybody's name today. Beck Bennett and whatever, the two guys, do more with that. They could have had more fun than they did, but it was cute. Bobby Moynihan kissing a hot dog. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's take a question from Mike Bloom. And this is a bit of a meta question. Do you think the Baltimore wordplay sketch was put on the show after the internet reacted negatively to the Ferguson sketch getting cut during the James Franco episode? I don't think SNL does anything because of what the internet says.
Other than hire black women, they don't do anything that the internet tells them.
I think that was more than just the internet.
Yeah. No, that became a thing.
That became a thing. Yeah. I think once it becomes a thing, then they do something. But I think if it's just like people like griping on Twitter, I don't think that.
No, I agree. Yeah.
I don't think that moves the needle.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's talk about Black Widow Age of Me.
I am going to guess that everyone involved in our show liked this more than I did.
Okay.
I didn't dislike it. I liked the premise. I liked the physical execution, but I kept waiting for the big joke. Like, I loved the setup. Does Marvel not know how to make a girl superhero movie? And then we're going to do a romantic comedy. I felt like it, although there were specific jokes that made me laugh, I kept waiting for it to kind of kick into gear.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah, you're right. I didn't like, oh my God, fall out of my chair and love it. You know, I just thought it was really, really well executed.
Yeah, the execution of it, given the script, the execution was very good. I really enjoyed it. Yes.
Now, the script of Black Widow Age of Me or the script of the sketch?
The script of the sketch. Yes. I think the script of the sketch was still, I don't think they ever really found the kind of game, really the heart of, okay, romantic comedy starring Black Widow, what would that be? I think we kind of danced around it. We hit a lot of fun tropes. We see Taron Killam playing gay for the second time as gay Thor, which I thought was very funny. A lot of the tropes in that I thought were really good. And I loved Scarlett Johansson for being completely game to make fun of her franchise character in such a, again, softball way, but did a nice job with it.
Do you think that Marvel would release Black Widow Age of Me during the Pacquiao Mayweather rematch? Would they do that
this
same
would
weekend?
Be the right time. This would be the time to release it. When you're, it's a little bit of a different demo.
Yeah.
I didn't love the whole Fashion Weekly internship where we're doing a little Devil's Wear Prada. I felt there was no big good joke there to pay off. But I did like when she's dating Ultron, I did like when his penis was activated, and some of the banter between them. I like that when he does, I'm sorry, on fire in the city, I thought that was funny. So, you know, I wish I loved Bobby Moynihan as the Hulk at the end more. I thought that was going to be Bobby comes in for the big moment, but it was kind of like, what? Okay. It's not unfunny. So, so it was cute.
Yeah. By the way, Josh Wigler himself has a Avengers Age of Ultron podcast this weekend. Already recapped the movie.
Oh, wow. All
here
right.
On post-show recaps.
Yeah.
All right. What did you like better, the Chris Pratt Marvel sketch from the season premiere or this one?
I was thinking about that, and I liked them equally for different reasons, because I felt like the Chris Pratt one was a much stronger premise, a much stronger, cleaner game of a scene, but then it just got so repetitive. This was a little bit muddier, but at least it kind of kept evolving and turning. So I guess I would say Black Widow by a nose, although they're both very funny.
Okay. And then I like the joke where they said it's from Marvel Studios and the writers of 27 Dresses.
It's such a great reference.
That's
exactly.
So random.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Very random.
Yeah, intentionally pulling an old rom-com that was not
random.
Very good. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Then one more sketch, Rich, before we go to the Wiz Khalifa, and it is the 10,986th appearance of the Girlfriends Talk Show.
I just hit myself on the head for the entire duration. This was the 8th iteration.
Yes, I actually looked this up myself. Eighth. I was like, I was surprised it was that few.
It feels like, as you said, it feels like 32.
And surprisingly, I believe it's only the second time this season.
Correct. We haven't seen it since Amy Adams, which was the first time this season. And again, I think it's because the 8th time you play Mad Libs with your friends, you start to go, I think I'm a little old for Mad Libs. Mm-hmm. And that's what this sketch is. I am now a broken record talking about what a broken record this sketch is. Again, great performances. I love AD and Cecily in this sketch, but this is Mad Libs. Oh, we're at the part where my boyfriend's so crazy, fill in here. Oh, we're at the point where the next segment is, and AD says one thing and the guest host says another. So we're just kind of like filling it in, going through the numbers. That said, they're very good.
They're very good. So how does this keep happening? Is it Cecily and AD? Are they saying like, hey, I think this is the week. Girlfriend's Talk Show. Let's make it happen again. What do you think? What do you think?
I would think it's more host driven. I think that it's coming from ScarJo. And and I think, you know, I was talking to Mark C, who's not in the chat room because he's actually at UCB in New York right now. We were chatting about him and his fiance were sharing that they love Girlfriend's Talk Show, and it's always a pleasantly fun to them, and it's always a welcome return back to the basement of Girlfriend's Talk Show or wherever it's hosted. So I think that they're playing to a fan base that's like, bring them back. It's too much is never enough. So, but I would think that especially, you know, generally for the most part, you know, this is it's when a female host is on the show. I think that there's something like, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of the Girlfriends Talk Show.
Luckily, this is going to be it for Girlfriends Talk Show till at the earliest fall 2015.
Yes, I don't think there's any chance we will see it again. Okay. On then.
All right. Rich, did you have a good promposal?
My Mercedes was covered with Post-it notes.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was very nice. Yeah,
that's nice.
It was very nice.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. I did like the one joke that from 80 about how, well, I will be at the prom way yes. longer than you, stacking up the chairs after it's over.
And I did like that in her fantasy promposal, she refers to the wheelchair kid from Glee. She doesn't even use the actor's name. Would you push me to prom? I thought that was really funny.
That's good. All right. All right. Let's talk about Wiz Khalifa. Let's bring in our resident musical correspondent here on the podcast, James Keese, the editor of Exclaim magazine. Here he is. James, are you there?
How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Fantastic. Fantastic. So, James, tell us about Wiz Khalifa.
So Wiz Khalifa here to pay tribute to the late Paul Walker. See You Again. It's the first song that he did, and it's the big hit single from the Furious, is it Fast 7 or Furious 7? I can't remember which part of the title they dropped. The Fast and the Furious movie that just came out.
I think we're just Furious at this point.
Not Fast anymore.
Yes, correct.
So Furious 7.
Fast is just assumed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Fast is a given. And Wiz Khalifa having a single without a record is also a given. He's very much a singles artist, and this is a pretty big hit. I really thought that young Charlie Puth was going to steal the spotlight from him. Charlie Puth is the young pianist. He's a YouTube star, And he plays on this song, and he has a song with Meghan Trainor. And otherwise, he has no recorded music other than his acoustic covers on YouTube. So he's on SNL with Wiz Khalifa now.
So, and just to be clear, this song was not True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, because I was fairly sure that's what I was listening to.
It's pretty close. I think the sentiment is similar.
Okay.
All right. Well, Wiz Khalifa is, he got it on the screen a couple times too.
Yeah, he made some time. Yeah.
Yes. What'd you think of Kate McKinnon's Hozier, James?
I thought it was pretty good. They don't usually make fun of musical guests that were, I think not since Lana Del Rey. Yes. They made a joke about a recent musical guest.
Although I don't think this was much of a joke as much it was just a fun impression. I don't think Hozier is storming around the apartment mad at the treatment of SNL.
Mm. No, and I don't think it's going to return. Like, I don't think it's become a Bieber-like classic for her.
No.
Okay. And then, James, what about the second time out for Wiz Khalifa?
So the second one, I mean, this is sort of like Carly Rae doing Call Me Maybe. He basically performed the hit of last summer. We Dem Boys was a summer anthem of 2014 for many people. And I have to say, it was very odd to hear it, 10 months later. It's not really old enough for nostalgia, but at the same time, you're like, this, don't you have anything new to be playing? The record it's from is about 18 months old. And I just thought it was a weird choice. I mean, he could have just picked another song, but to hear, the anthem of last summer just makes you go, wait, oh yeah, I remember this song. I haven't heard this in 8 months.
Right.
So I thought it was a weird choice, energetic performance, but yeah, I mean, it just kind of shows that Wiz is really a singles kind of guy. He doesn't have a deep bench in terms of back catalog.
He's a singles kind of guy. All right, James, who's the musical guest next week?
Florence and the Machine are making their return to Saturday Night Live. But before we go, I have a question for you guys about Wiz Khalifa.
Sure.
Do you think that he has somehow discovered a cure for the munchies? Because I have not seen a stoner so skinny in my life. The guy looks like he weighs 80 pounds. And he has a full-time joint roller that he hired on social media last year. And it's just a random guy that just is Wiz's joint roller. I don't know how he can smoke that much pot and never snack.
I don't know. Maybe some of our viewers can tell us.
Maybe he's on NatureBox. Maybe that's what he's doing.
Maybe that's, yes, he's NatureBox.
Yeah.
All right. Well, James, thank you so much. Follow James on Twitter. He's at Exclaim Editor. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye. All right. So James giving us the, dropping the knowledge on us about Wiz Khalifa and physical fitness.
Thank God, because I knew almost nothing of what he shared. Oh, really? That's an old song? Oh, I didn't hear it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Rich, let's talk about weekend update.
Oh, yeah. So a long update. Three, technically five correspondents showing up this week. Do you want to talk about the guests first, or you want to
talk about the hosts in general?
Right. The anchors.
Yes.
So I thought interesting. We start off with a couple of Baltimore jokes. And it's interesting. I can't put my finger on this. I feel like Michael Che, he's got the cred to take some real shots at the police department, partially because he is black. So, it comes off better than maybe a white guy doing it. Although Jost comes in and does a couple afterwards. But I don't think that he's worked for some reason. The jokes that he made on paper, I thought were funny, but they just didn't deliver. I thought that then Colin Jost doing the jokes afterwards were much funnier.
Mm. Yeah. So. I don't know. I agree. Like, I feel like, I don't know if the material was weak, but I just felt like he did not really, knock it out of the park on anything he was saying.
Yeah, because I actually thought some of the jokes were very funny, and I thought they were also like insightful, like ouch funny. Like when they were talking about all of the rioting, and then they said that there were no deaths, and it's like, so basically it's more dangerous to be in the back of a police van. I felt like if you had given Jost that joke, it could have popped more. I don't know. There's something about the way Michael is delivering this sort of like the tougher jokes that he doesn't go all like he's almost going for deadpan, and deadpan is death on SNL. you can't sell deadpan on SNL unless you're doing a whole sketch around it. You need to kind of sell it. Like when Colin Jost was talking about Ray Lewis, who said violence is not the answer. And he says, that's true. Unless the question is, what made Ray Lewis super rich? Like he sold it. He absolutely sold it. Gets a very big laugh. And I just think you need to do that on the show. So I don't know. I don't know how much that's sort of working for me.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough thing, especially that, you know, it's not a funny thing to be, you know, to be talking about right now. There's a lot of, you know, high emotion around it. It's a tough thing to come in and now you're SNL. Like, I don't envy that task of like, okay, make jokes about this.
But I would say that from the writing perspective, I liked their jokes, and I thought they almost went into Daily Show commentary as much as comedy in a good way. And they're calling out establishment more than maybe you would have seen when it was Seth Meyers. I mean, those jokes that Michael Che was making about the riots, we would never have had with Seth Meyers as host. So I love that we're going there. I think he's got to sort of commit more or change his delivery too.
I like the joke about how Apple had like all this money in earnings and Samsung is a company.
Yeah, that was very funny. I liked the Colin Jost little run about same-sex marriage when Justice Alito had asked about polygamy.
Yeah.
I agree with gay marriage. I'm very for it. When Democrats sort of argue about how you can't bring polygamy into the conversation, I don't think that's a good setup because I think it's a fair argument to be had. But that said, when he starts getting on the whole run about like it's a gay word problem and let's say the gay marriage train is leaving, such as in the traditional marriage train. And, you know, what is it? Look around you. Everyone's on board the gay marriage. Like they thought and just he kind of hit that super well. And it was really fun. And I really liked that a lot.
Okay, let's talk about some of these people that show up. First up is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who... It couldn't have been that long ago since Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on the show.
Yeah, she was last on Dakota Johnson, which was February. So it was not a fairly recent return. I like this character a lot. I like what she does with this character a lot. Although the problem here was, you know, we've now established the pattern that she's got the Ginsburns. And the actual jokes this time around were not, it really wasn't a burn. It was more like a little, a slight irritation to the skin that went away very quickly.
Yes.
They really kind of didn't deliver on the jokes of the burns.
Yeah, I feel like the Ginsburn and the dancing is my least favorite part about this sketch.
Yeah, there were a lot of little things that they did when
now she's going to dance. Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I think if she looked older as a character in makeup, it may pay off a little bit more with the dancing. I definitely liked when they were talking about the boxing and she said that she floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee and cleans herself like a fly. Like, and then started doing the little fly moves. I like that. But the actual burns, even like one of them, I went back because she said they're talking about gay marriage. And she said the arguments were so weak. I just hope they were not holding up Justice Scalia's chair. And the whole audience with me went, what?
Yeah.
And then it was like, you've been burned in the music. And it was like, oh, what? Yeah. Okay.
And she burned herself. Right.
Yeah. With the sea biscuit that they call her at the racetrack.
Yeah. Nobody biscuit.
Yeah.
So, I like the other joke that she had about how she's like a weird mole that, you don't know what I am, but I'm dangerous. I did like that. So I like the jokes. I just think that dancing and all the stuff around it, I feel like is a little bit like, okay.
But I would say when the jokes worked the first time, it was a very fun button. I mean, we're doing John K. John. We're doing Keenan's character essentially, but I did like it. You're right. The little throwaways when she was not doing the burns, when she said something about, I got to push gay marriage through before God remembers I'm alive. I thought that was very funny. Yeah. So,
all right. Let's talk about Sam and Gilly. And oh my God, it's been a very post-show recaps edition of SNL.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And here comes Sam and Gilly, and it is Bobby Moynihan and Vanessa Bayer as Sam and Gilly do a very good job. I'm not sure if if Bobby Moynihan does a better Sam than Josh Wiggler does.
Well, I haven't heard Josh's, but I got to say, and you know, I will always defend my the love of my life, Bobby Moynihan. I don't think this was an impression at all. I thought this was just Bobby being Bobby, because I liked Vanessa a lot as Gilly. The Sam was just kind of like, whatever.
Now, do you buy this premise? Is that the hottest couple on Game of Thrones?
Well, you just had Natalie Dormer basically naked in bed in the last episode. Granted, with a character who's supposed to be 12, but you still have one of the most attractive actresses on television naked.
So you're shipping Marjorie Tommen ahead of that. I think that you can certainly make the case for Danny and Dario. I think that's technically a couple. Even Loras and his guy, those are two hot guys.
So this was definitely a weird end to a piece that definitely didn't work for me. But that said, it still made me laugh. Vanessa more than Bobby still made me laugh.
I liked it that they're like, Sam and Gilly are like, you know, thrust into like this celebrity life. I mean, it was a funny idea.
Yeah, the idea that she thinks that men are masturbating to her.
Yes.
When she said, winter is not the only thing that's coming. It made me laugh.
And Sam also, that he's also these young kids.
I thought there was one really great joke that the audience did not laugh at all. It completely bombed. But I really liked when Sam says something about living at the wall, and he says, "Well, it's not the greatest neighborhood, but at least it's an elevator building." I thought that was great. I thought that was such a funny joke.
You know, the audience of SNL also may not all be caught up on Game of Thrones. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's also like, you know, I've heard this about SNL before, where it's like, I want to say it's Bill Hader that said this, and it's of Lorne. It's like, be funny, like at an airport. Like, just like, here's like 200 random people. How many of them know Game of Thrones particularly well?
Right. And so much of the audience is a tourist audience. An elevator building is a very New York reference.
And how many people know that the wall does have an elevator that goes up and stuff, stuff like that?
Right.
Let's take a question. Scott says a couple people want to talk about this. This is from Fillard. Bobby subtly dropping the boy again. He noticed you, Rich. Is Bobby Moynihan sending you smoke signals?
I think that he's knows. You know what? I'd like to think that he's channeling me, or that he's seeing it. He's watching us and he's mimicking. But I don't. I think what it is that we are separated at birth. We are blood brothers.
Okay.
We have the same spirit animal.
Okay, that makes sense, because you would think that he would send you like a tweet or something.
Something. Like, a tweet from Bobby. Oh my gosh, that would be great.
Hey, Rich, love the show. Thanks for the support.
Yeah.
But I guess this is his way of showing his love, that he's just gonna make these shout outs on the show.
Love it, love it, love it.
All right. Then also we're gonna have here is Charles Barkley and Shaq.
Now this I will say. I've talked a lot about Jay Farrow, that, you know, Jay Farrow doesn't like a lot of the impressions that he does are technically so accurate, and yet they're not memorable. And I often say it's because he's not having fun with the character. And I feel like Shaquille O'Neal is the one character that he's less focused on accuracy, and it's more about having fun. And it really shows, because I not only do I love watching him do Shaq, I love watching Kenan Thompson watching him do Shaq and just getting a kick out of all of it. So the writing of this was fine, but I thought the act, just watching Jay be Shaq, was very, very funny.
Yeah. I like that Charles Barkley bet on Pacquiao in the Kentucky Derby. And I like that Shaq isn't afraid of goats.
Yeah, goats.
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah, but then is afraid when he says ghosts. It was very funny. Yeah. And by the way, they were not making it up. Shaq does have a scripted comedy coming to True TV.
Okay.
So Shaq.
Now, why is there a scripted comedy on True TV?
Because.
Isn't the point of True TV that it's unscripted?
Well, everyone was unscripted. Unfortunately, given the ratings, everyone's moving to scripted. So you got to do what you got to do to survive. It's a tough landscape out there.
You got to do it. All right. Let's go to the dinosaur museum.
Okay. So let me preface this setup, because I don't actually, you know what? Let me stop for a second. What did you think? And I'll tell you what I thought.
I felt like it was I didn't love it, but I didn't have a violent reaction to it.
Okay, here was my thing. It started and I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. And I had an absolute aha moment about a third of the way through, to which I then loved it. Like, you can't love a sketch. And the reason is, and I want to be politically correct as I say this, I know this woman. People I know listen to this, but I want to be nice. If you hang around UCB in either New York or LA, you will become friendly with this character.
Yeah.
And it's a very specific character that is wonderful. It is the smart, attractive, glasses, erudite person wanting to do comedy and also being silly in their comedy despite being very smart. And it all adds up to what you saw in this sketch. This was not much of an exaggeration to people I may or may not know in the world of UCB. So to me, I thought,
so you know somebody like this? That's random.
It's so random.
That's random.
So random. So I will say, I think trying to take something specific from a very specific world and make it a big sketch. I don't know that many people would connect with this, but if you know her, this was a very fun sketch to watch.
The women that you know that are this woman, are they that focused on the scatological?
No, but here's what's so great about it. They're very smart and they have very smart cultural references, but often a lot of the humor that they pitch is self-admittedly silly. They're not just making jokes about, you know, evolution versus creationism. They're often making fart jokes or poop. Like, they're not unfunny. They're just, they approach it. And so it's almost like
if a computer was trying to make a joke.
But it's a fight between a very smart, accomplished woman and a very silly little girl inside of that very smart, accomplished okay. woman. So, yeah. If I say too much more, I'm going to get in trouble. But yes, I love this person as a stereotype, as a caricature. I love it.
Okay, so that just happened.
Yeah, and I will also say, oh, by the way, out of nowhere, I love that the Rihanna 4 or 5 second song gets a nice shout out by Keenan out of nowhere. And almost the end of the night, we're making a 4 or 5 second reference to even the song being played, which I thought was really fun.
All right. Rich, let's talk about Blazer.
Oh boy. So this is a sketch. This was me gearing up. This to me was the sketch of the night.
All right.
I thought this was my absolute favorite sketch of the night, and the building and the execution. And this is the, what looks like an 80s commercial or promo for the TV show Blazer. And I even like that we don't quite know where it's going, but at least for me, they did a smart move of, they kept having Taron Killam sort of pull down his sunglasses, so that I thought, okay, that's the pattern. So that's what the joke's going to be. And then I had the, like, did he only punch the black guy? Wait, what? No. Okay. Whatever. And they built it so nice that, so then when he's clearly punch black guy, punch like white guy, he stops, black guy, he punch. And I just was laughing, so subtle and pulled. And then sort of the reveal that they're watching it in the police chief's office. I liked everything about this.
Okay. Then what about the reveal with Bobby Moynihan as the police
chief? Fantastic. A perfect button. The button to the button. It's the button to the button. Come on.
Button to the button.
The button to the button. Very well done. I thought this was a great sketch. Yeah, very
I didn't love it as much as you did. I thought it was cute. I definitely can understand. You certainly present a very compelling argument for why it should be the sketch of the night.
Sketch of the night for
and
me.
And on this night, it was not, you know, redeeming with faint praise.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like heavyweights battling in the ring. It was sketch not, of the night.
Pacquiao Mayweather.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. It might have delivered more than Pacquiao Mayweather.
Yeah.
All right. And then let's talk about the robots on the Virgin Atlantic flight.
you know, I like this. To me, this is the kind of sketch I want to see as the last sketch of the night, which it wasn't, unfortunately. But I like this idea. It's silly. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a lot of execution. We're throwing a lot of different things at it. A lot of little sub games with Taron Killam being weirdly sexist and Pete Davidson wanting nothing to do with him. But overall, I thought this was fun. I wondered, and I couldn't find anything on Twitter, if this was any kind of nod to Scarlett Johansson being the voice of the operating system in Her, which was one of my favorite movies of last year.
Oh.
I don't know if it was in any way inspired by that. But I thought Vanessa Bayer did a great job. I thought Scarlett Johansson did a nice job. And just everything from the 38 animal boxes, the animal crackers, and just the way that they would modulate themselves, that you ordered a Sprite. You ordered a towel. Mm-hmm. I thought they did all of those little pieces well. Clearly not good enough that you're going to do this, after the monologue. But as a late sketch, it just had a nice lot of little funny beats, funny performances, nice kind of weird tie up at the end. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. You know, I really didn't think it was too exciting. It's like, you know, once they introduce that they're robots, you're sort of like, you know, where is it going to go wrong? And what's going to happen? It goes haywire.
Yeah.
So it was fine for me. I just, you know, it was, you know, neither here nor there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Let's go into the last live sketch. This is with writing the jingle from A.D. Bryan and Scarlett Johansson coming up with jingles. And it's weird because I feel like in the Michael Keaton episode, we were sort of like in sort of an advertising
yes.
office.
Yes.
So we're back to that again.
Yeah. Oh boy. This was just a true oh boy sketch for me. This was really rough. Because, you know, and there were so many pieces that I think this was just weird for weird's sake. And I'm not personally a fan of weird for weird's sake. You know, they're like, oh, they've been out of the game for all. So they're dressed up like 60s hippies, but they've only been out of the jingles game for 2 years. So it's like, what, you were dressing like hippies in 2013? I don't understand. And I understand they lived in the desert, so all of their songs were desert related. But there was no explanation of why they thought these jingles would work or why they couldn't let it go. So we were just relying purely on weird execution. And within that, there were some funny lines. I did like at the end of each song, there were the sound effects. They kept adding the sound effects of the raven and stuff. So cute, but I was like, oh, why didn't we just end on the Virgin America sketch?
Yeah, and again, not that I love this, but I definitely liked it more than you did. I thought that there was a couple of funny lines where they would like reference other jingles and
yes.
Like da 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 Papa John's, and they're like, "Does you mean McDonald's?" Like, boy, you sound like Papa
yes,
John's.
That was my favorite line. I thought that was very funny. Yeah,
and that was great. And when they were doing the Chili's baby back ribs, but they were like, "Did you guys write that?" Well, no. So. There was some humor to be had there.
And 80 being like, what was the, I think it was the line, the jingle scene, it's Coke for breakfast and ass for dinner. It's just such a funny, like the jingle scene. Very funny. Yeah. So, I was sort of, waiting to get through this. Interesting.
Yeah. And for me, like, I feel like, just to compare like Virgin and this, like I would rather the sketch that is just like is really off the wall. That is like a weaker premise, but mm-hmm. maybe like, is going to like, take some swings that might be home runs, but fail, as opposed to like the Virgin, which might have a stronger premise and a better game mm-hmm. of the sketch. But I feel like, I can't really remember like any like fantastic, I probably had a bigger laugh and during this wackier sketch.
Yeah, fair enough. I gotcha.
All right. So, Rich, let's talk about the goodbyes.
The goodbyes. So a little bit of, as we were talking about trivia, in a small way, a notable moment in the goodbyes that many people we were talking about commenting on Twitter, that at the end, as Scarlett Johansson is saying goodnight, she also makes a shout out to Floyd Mayweather for winning the boxing match. And Jay Farrow looks at her like, are you effing kidding me? You just gave away the end to the boxing match, and was very sort of like visibly perturbed with her.
What, he was DVRing it and going to watch it when he got home?
I don't know if he already knew and was just like, what the? You don't give away the end of a match. Now, I will say, because I am...
I can't imagine that a lot of people DVR'd it and were going to watch it after yeah. the fact. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I feel like yeah. that's one of those things like the Super Bowl, like how many people right. are DVRing the Super Bowl.
I get you. I don't know. Maybe if you're in New York and you're a boxing fan, but you're 60, you're not staying up till 11:30 at night to watch it.
I guess,
but then
so.
Again, are you watching SNL at that point? So,
right.
Now I watched the goodbyes three times because I'm a nerd, but I'm getting you all to be nerdy like me. I know that you're in with me. So I actually noticed that Jay Farrow looked a little odd. He had a weird reaction towards Scarlett Johansson even before she said that. So I kind of wonder if he was not the biggest ScarJo fan for reasons I could not guess why. But I don't know. I'd love to hear what other people say. But he had a very big reaction. And then after that, it was all warm and fuzzy. A lot of hugs. Actually, she hugged him first. She didn't see his reaction. So she just hugged him. He seemed to be obviously very nice about it. And then a lot of hugging and a lot of stuff. A number of people from the cast had no screen time. So it was interesting to see her give a huge hug to Sasheer Zamata, who was not on stage for a frame of television. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that they had a big sketch that got cut because Scarlett gave her a very big hug and a bear hug. So I'm guessing that they had something that they had been working on together that didn't make it.
Okay. Were you surprised? No chandeliers sketch.
Oh,
with
I was talking about that on the way over. No, again, I was there. I was in the audience for you gotta buy a chandelier. So we have every time she's been back, we then had columns and then we had a fountain.
Yes.
So now again, if Fred Armisen isn't in New York, I mean, he's theoretically, if he's in New York, he's working at Seth Meyers down the hall that he could come over and do one more. I was very much, I think once it didn't happen by Weekend Update, I knew it was not going to happen. But just for the consistency, I would like to have seen that.
Right. I mean, that is her signature sketch.
Yes. And also, as Scott mentioned on Twitter, and we were talking about at my house, I was also very surprised that we did not have a Colby Smothers cameo, given that she's married or a longtime girlfriend, I think married to Taron Killam. And in The Avengers with Scarlett Johansson, and it's the weekend opening, we thought she'd show up. So I was surprised by that. Although we were saying before the show, I'm now thinking that that's a very deliberate decision between Taron and Colby, that they sort of do their own thing, even though Taron was on How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. And Scott St. Pierre confirms they are married.
Thank you.
They have yes. two kids. Yes. I believe one was born in the desert.
All right.
She was in NYC this week.
Oh, that's right. I heard that as well. Yes.
So Scott, keeping a close eye on her. And she's Canadian, right?
She played a Canadian.
I don't know if she really is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So Scott, I think Scott is saying that she really is. Okay?
All right.
All right. Good. So that was so
weird. Would love to see her show up.
Okay. Just right. show up.
Yeah.
All right. And then Rich, do you want to comment on the next two shows coming up for SNL?
Yeah, so next week we've got two shows left, although if this was an AMC promo, I'd say one episode left until the season finale.
That's so confusing.
So dumb. Come on, AMC.
Yeah,
come on.
One episode left until the finale of... Yeah. What?
Yeah, exactly. So, not totally surprising. Reese Witherspoon, who I think when we were talking about who could be a host, I had mentioned her in a list of people who could be. So she's back first time since 2001 with Florence and the Machine. And then a big surprise, our season finale, Louis C.K. with Rihanna. Very surprising call. I like Louis C.K., but I would have bet the farm that we would have had a alumni hosting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's starting to get into that Alec Baldwin territory now.
But he doesn't have the characters of Alec Baldwin. He doesn't have, like, it's not like, oh, I can't wait for Louis to be back so Louis can do anything.
Yeah, but
all we know is this is going to be a great monologue.
I'm surprised to hear you say that because I feel like last year you said he was the host of the year.
That was a good show, But I mean, he was a great monologue, and that was a great show. But I don't know. I
maybe pajamas could be the new signature sketch. Like, you know, I feel like that those were good shows with
and
Louis
I'm
C.K.
not saying he's going to do a bad show. I'm just surprised that he's the season finale. Yeah. I'm surprised that we're not bringing back an alumni for a finale. I mean, this has been, and I don't, when I talk about alumni, I don't count Chris Rock or Sarah Silverman, but we've had a season low of notable alumni.
But we also did the 40-year anniversary and had everybody just back in February.
No,
so,
that's true. Yeah.
Like, I feel like that sort of, like, there might be a little bit of a thing like, well, I was just there. Like, it's really going to take like a, like if Will Ferrell comes back to host, like, it's like, well, I was just in the building on the show. You know, 3 months ago.
No, you're absolutely.
So I think it takes a little bit of the luster off the alumni appearance.
And I think that with Rihanna hosting, and I would have asked James, he would know the timing, but I would assume we will definitely get 4 or 5 seconds played live, which would mean probably not only would we have Kanye West show up, I would expect Paul McCartney with his 40-year relationship with SNL. Paul McCartney will probably show up as well, which would then put him in a sketch. I could see Rihanna in a digital short of some sort. So could be really fun. I'm a big old white guy, but I do love that song. I love it to death.
All right. Well, great job here tonight, Rich. We will be back with more SNL podcasts for next week. Anything else from this episode?
No, only thing to say as we're sort of saying goodbye is what a Taron Killam episode. He was in every sketch except Girlfriend's Talk Show.
And no sign of the Good Neighbor.
No Good Neighbors. A lot of people got almost no time. Beck Bennett got very little time. Kyle Mooney got very little time. A very little time for Kate McKinnon compared to other episodes. We had a lot of Bobby. We had a lot more Kate than we've been having, which I thought was really fun to see her in more stuff. But Leslie Jones, I think, had 2 lines.
Yep.
So
and
real
a
kind of
report on her.
Exactly. So real mix up of the cast this week.
Real quick. I know we talked about this a lot at the end of last season. Is anybody on the roster bubble in your mind? I know last season was like, oh, you know, we had all those people like, and you know, I really am struggling to even remember, their names.
John Milheiser. Who didn't make it back.
And yes.
We had Tim Robinson
and who was the woman, that,
I want to say Zoe Deschanel. It's always, but yeah. So I mean, I think Beck Bennett could be in trouble. I think that
really,
you know, there was a point where I thought he was the next, Taron Killam. It turns out Taron Killam's the next Taron Killam. He's back in action. So, you know, I'm always wondering.
Yeah, it's been quiet that, you know, we haven't heard about any veterans leaving other than potentially Keenan and or any of the featured players on the bubble. Because we feel like, all right, we had a little bit of a thinning coming into this season. And of course, you know, with Leslie Jones, you got to feel like she's going to be back.
Oh yeah.
Pete Davidson, you feel like he's going to be back.
He's definitely going to be back.
I don't know if we're going to, we're going to have any turnover.
I think Shashir is definitely back, even though she has not gotten a lot of screen time lately. She has not had a breakout character. I don't think there's any chance that they let
so
her
So who's
go.
The person that's most on the bubble? Beck Bennett?
I think Beck Bennett, because I think that he doesn't have a big character.
Kyle Mooney?
I think Kyle's got more going for him than Beck does on the show. I think they're more likely to bring back Kyle. And Kyle also plays a role that he sort of plays the young kid, where Beck Bennett's going to play the dad, the police commissioner, and you've got other guys who can do that.
Plays old people also.
Yes, that's true. So I'm not taking away from Beck, but if you had to cut,
last 2 weeks of the season.
And I'm always worried about Vanessa Bayer. I'm always worried about, she had a nice run this week.
She's got Gilly. That's her new character.
Yeah, but it's been a tougher season, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, and thanks to Chris Berger in the chat room for letting us. Noelle Wells.
Thank you.
All right. That and people were so mean to her on Twitter also, and she got kicked off the show.
Unfair. Okay. Unfair.
All right. Well, Rich, it's that time again. Great job by you.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
fantastic
you. And
job.
To you as well. Thank you.
And we will be back to talk about SNL. Only 2 episodes left this season.
Can't believe it. Can't believe it's over. I feel like we were just there at the start of the season.
We're just getting ramped up again. So crazy.
40, almost in the books. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre. Thanks to James Keese. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Ask all these great questions. Thank you again, Rich Tackenberg, for schlepping all the way over here.
I love it. Love
being appreciate
here.
That.
Yes. Thank you to the Twitterverse for keeping it, keeping the conversation going in between episodes.
Yes. All right. And yeah, thank you to everybody. Racing Source, Mike Bloom has been great. So many people. All right. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye.